Well, just hearing those manifestations, we have a lot to be thankful for. And this is the month of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So we can be thankful, but we're thankful all the time because we got a great God. So I wanted to go over some scriptures here on being thankful unto Him, our wonderful, wonderful God. And we're going to start off in Psalm 30. Psalm 30 and verse 10. It says, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever." And that thanks, going to thank God, is just to praise Him. It's like almost holding out your hand to shake His hand for just His wonderfulness and blessings. So, and look at this. "Thou hast turned my mourning," which you know what mourning is, right? It's not good when you're mourning something. "But He turned it into dancing," to just a wondrous, glorious work. "Be thou my helper." God, just picture that, God as our helper. He's our protector. He takes care of us. Psalm 105. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "O give thanks unto the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works." And that word talk is very interesting. It says it means to meditate or ponder of things that, you know, you think about throughout the day. There's a lot of negatives that can get thrown your way. Am I right or wrong? Yes. But God's telling us here to talk ye of all His wondrous works. There's negatives. There's not great things that happen to us. But when we're walking with God, we're looking to Him, we're putting Him first, there's a lot more wonderful things that happen. So He wants us to meditate upon those things, not upon the things of the, with the, you know, the things the world throws at us. Verse 3, it says, "To glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." And that word glory is to celebrate. And it also means to shine. We can celebrate in God's goodness instead of not celebrating in the things that the world throws at us, the adversary. Verse 4. "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore." And that word seek is to seek. Very intense research there. But not only to seek it, but it means to frequently seek it. Go to Him all the time. Verse 5. "Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." And to remember is to just mark those things that He's done for you and for each other. Mark those instead of marking the not so wonderful things that happen. And that judgment, he says in verse 5, his wonders and the judgments of His mouth. And that judgment means the justice, because God's justice is great. He does what's right for His people. And what He wants from His people is for us to just thank Him. And that's not really that big a deal for us to thank God, because He's done so many wonderful things for us. Now go to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. And we're going to start in verse 5. And It says, "Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me." And this I love. "I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of the fold, out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine." And here's that great verse. "And the cattle upon a thousand hills." Does God need us to give him any kind of sacrifice or any kind of bull or sheep or whatever? He doesn't, because he owns them all. And I love, you know, we've all heard this verse a thousand times, "And the cattle upon a thousand hills." God has everything we could ever need for us to live our lives more abundantly. Like he said in the manifestations, he's got everything there for us. Verse 11, "I know all the fowls," page turn. "I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are" who? "They're his." Now look at this. "If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof." Does God need to come to us for anything? No. But what he wants from us is just to be thankful for all he does for us. "Will I eat flesh? Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving." And that's thanksgiving is adoration and praise. And why wouldn't we want to when he does all these wonderful things for us? "And pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." So we got this great God that wants us. He doesn't want, you know, physical things from us, but he wants us to just be thankful. And then, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee." That's pretty cool. And that word "deliver" means to equip, to strengthen, to give us everything we ever needed so that we can be safe and feel wonderful. In Philippians chapter 4, you've heard this great verse before too. Chapter 4, starting verse 5. Well, actually, you know what? Why not start in verse 4? It's a great verse, too. Everybody there?
Yep.
Yes. Oh. All the electronic people are there. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord." How many times are we supposed to rejoice?
Always.
And again, I say rejoice. So he wants us to rejoice. And it's very easy to rejoice in the things of God because they're wonderful. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And then this wonderful verse again. "Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with" what?
Thanksgiving.
"Thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." We have that thanksgiving to God, you know, like the next time, I'm sure we're going to feel anxious once in a while. The next time we feel that, we can be in thanksgiving to him. And we can watch that anxiousness disappear. Just be gone. And then instead of thinking about the thing we're anxious about, we get to think about the things of God and what he has for us. And it'll just dissipate. Verse 7, what happens? Peace happens. And the peace of God, "And prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." And the peace of God, it's unreal, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we continue to stay thankful to him. When we get in situations where, you know, we're thinking thoughts other than what God would have us to think, change our mind. think about things that God's done for us. Because each person in this room, I'm sure God has done a million things for us. And it's just, it's not the best to think about the things that are bombarding us and keeping us distracted from His Word. And that peace is prosperity and rest and quietness. And who cannot want that in their lives during these wonderful times, which has been around since, you know, the beginning. But God has the answer for all of that. Let's go to Psalm 69. Psalm 69, we'll start in verse 30, if I ever get there. Verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. You know, and that's why we sing songs in fellowship. I know we haven't sang one in a while. Oh, we sang one last week. But we have these wonderful songs that we can sing. We can sing Psalms. A lot of Psalms are songs. But God has provided us with many things to keep us really wonderful in this life. Verse, where am I? 69:30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not His prisoners. And the Lord, which means the Lord heareth the needy, people who are in need, and He doesn't despise people that are in need either. He takes care of them. There's nothing, God doesn't despise us for the things that of our shortcomings. He wants to take care of us. He wants to help us with our shortcomings. All right, verse 34, it says, let the heaven and earth praise Him and seas and everything that moveth therein. And that's us. He wants us to praise Him. He wants us to be thankful for Him. In Psalm 95, and in verse 1, it says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. There it is again. And make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land, which we need some rain, so we need some wetland. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice. So, you know, we're God's sheep, but not in a sheepish way. Not in a led astray way, but we're a God's sheep that are totally taken care of. He has everything for us. In Psalm 100, you know we had to get to that one. Psalm 100, it's almost hard to read this psalm now without singing it. But it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people, we are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Again, we're the sheep that are totally taken care of. Enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving, gladness, pleasure. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. His kindness is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So God's truth endureth to us too, right? Not just in the people of Psalms. Psalm 107. Psalm 107, 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." That's a great thing, too. He's redeemed his people from the hand of the enemy. "And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he what? He delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth." Turn page. "Led him forth the way that they might go to the city of habitation." So God, again, he just keeps taking care of his people. And all he wants is for us to be thankful. Let's go to John chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And in verse 5, this is a wonderful record. Our very wonderful Lord and Savior, and how he handled the situation. Verse 5 says, "And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" And really, what are they among so many? That's not very much. So Jesus in verse 10 said, he said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and what did he do? And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. So Jesus Christ gave thanks instead of dwelling on, what do I do? There's not enough food here. Well, how am I going to feed these people? He gave thanks to God, and what did God do? Multiplied it somehow, and everybody was taken care of. Just like we're always taken care of in our lives by him when we go to him. I don't know if God will provide a lad for you every time, like he did, but... But he might. You never know. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5, these are great retemeries to do. Verse 16. "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning each one of us. Everything give thanks." Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, And in verse 57, these wonderful verses, it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain." So, he, again, thanks be to God. And we can be thankful because God has given us, what's that song? Much more than we could ever have expected in this life.